I learned this real quick. I go, wait, if I single task versus multitask, that's what I need to be doing. That's how I beat the competition.
It's one small step for man.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they are
hard. I have a dream.
You can't handle the truth.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super you. Thank you for joining us for today's Super You podcast. I'm beyond super excited for today's format. It's a different format. A lot of you have requested this format. It is a call-in format. So you're going to actually ask me questions. So beyond honored with the queue that we have for call-ins today. If you want to be on the show, just send us a note. It's an email, eq@equalman.com. That'll be our production folks. You'll either get Anthony, Andrew, or Kelsey, but it's eq@equalman.com. And then we'll have you on the show. It's a quick question format. We'll probably have you on for 5 to 10 minutes where you can ask all the questions that you want, and I'll give the answers. All right, we got a call in from Shanna McCormick from Hotlanta, from Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome to the Super You podcast, Shanna.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here today.
No, it's great. Before we get into the questions you have, give us a little context about what you're doing, your name, any handle out there so people can find out more about you.
Well, my name's Shanna McCormick. I do live here in Atlanta, Georgia. My Instagram handle is @Sierra's_mom. Sierra spelled C-I-A-R-A and then underscore and then mom. I have a lot of interests. I'm a pit bull mom, but the main thing that is my goal in life is just to enjoy life and also to become debt free.
No, I love it. Check out Dave Ramsey. If you don't know him, Dave Ramsey's got a great podcast on becoming debt-free. And we love all the Pitbull moms out there, so can't be more excited to have you on the show. So what questions do you have that we might be able to help with?
Okay, so one of the questions I have is that a couple years ago, I was on a reality TV show. That's what brought me to Atlanta. And since then, that experience, my life has changed quite a bit. So I really do want to grow my social media brand, but for someone who has a lot of interest, what advice would you give them on building their own personal brand on social media? Because, you know, there are certain pages that are just budget pages, or there's pages that are just pit bull pages or fitness pages. But what if you have a lot of interest? How would you hone in on that?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. This real for context, the reality show, did it air and was it a positive or negative experience?
It did air. It was only on for a month. It was actually VH1's one of their most highly controversial shows. As a result of me being on the show, I was actually expelled from my sorority for being on the show. And so needless to say, that's not exactly how I expected that to go.
So, okay, got it. So yeah. You went in with a different intention, expectation, but it sounds like There was a negative ramification that sounded like, if I heard you correctly, that you're kicked out of your sorority. So that's obviously when you're in college.
No, actually I was, I had already graduated from college, but the sorority that I was a member of, it was supposed to be a lifetime membership. But basically it was so controversial that anyone who was in that sorority got expelled automatically just for being on the TV show. So it didn't turn out very good.
No, and it makes sense. I mean, all of us would probably jump at that opportunity. Then you get in there and it's going to happen. That's what we talk about. That's what the main part of this show is about. It's not about being perfect. It's about being the perfect you. It's about being flossome. And so specific to your question, so thank you for the context. It's a question I get a lot from adults, actually, when it comes to the book, What Happens in Vegas Stays on YouTube. So we've been fortunate to meet with a lot of people and obviously sit down with some of the top technologies that run these personal brands that help conglomerate what we call your digital stamp. So I always like to think of it as pruning, that I do this myself, is that over time we evolve and there's like a tree. You're not going to chop down the tree of our personal brand. It's just we're going to prune certain aspects of it and go back and prune it out. And then the second part of your question actually correlates a lot with the first part, is that we've got a lot of interests. We're complicated. We're complex. We're human beings. Mm-hmm. I don't just 100% focus on digital leadership. I'm a dad. I love Michigan right. State sports. You know, how much do I let out of that? And so what we don't want to do is confuse the marketplace when it comes to our personal brand. Similar to just in life, if we try to be the best at everything, we'll be the best at nothing, you know? And yeah. So it's really about identifying, okay, here's the 80% that's going to be my core. So for me, the 80%'s digital leadership. And then I'm going to layer stuff on as time allows and it makes sense so that people go, that's cool. He likes Michigan State sports. I know a little bit more about him. And so what mm-hmm. we need to do is keep it tight, keep your personal brand. Here's the 80%. So that's what I always like to do, is just try to write out one sentence. So if you were someone to Google your name, what's that one word you want to be known for? And then take that to a sentence mm-hmm. level. And what that, it takes a lot of weeks to figure that out and it evolves over time. But what that allows for you, gives you a chance to show up in Google for how you want to show mm-hmm. up. And I say Google, but it can be XYZ technology.
Right.
But for your personal brand, for your digital stamp, which again, I always say that's just your reputation. And so that's the exercise I always think everyone should do, is write out your one word, write out your sentence. And then in time, you might adjust it accordingly, but really stay focused on that 80% and then layer on that 20% as it makes sense.
Yes, totally. So this goes into my next question. I've had this huge life experience that totally changed me, if that makes sense, in the public light as well. And so basically, I do want to share my story, and I do tell my story often on my social media. But how does someone get into public speaking?
Well, first of all, it sounds like you have an amazing story. And Steve Harvey, you might know this, he lived in his car before he got his big break late in life. And so that break can happen at any moment.
Yeah.
In terms of public speaking, start speaking for free.
Gotcha.
Everyone starts speaking for free. And then in time, what you can do is then turn that into a vocation, or your audience mm-hmm. grows. Even if you want to speak for free the rest of your life, your audience will start to grow. So you're always going to start for free in front of a small audience. Now, what that allows for, which is a little trickier once you start getting paid or start having bigger audiences,
yeah.
is it allows you to be you. It allows you to tell your story and allows you to craft your story over time and refine it. Once people start paying you, or once your audiences get larger, and again, Brené learned this, I learned this the hard way, is they'll start saying, we don't want you to say this. We want you to do this. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And all of us make the mistake the first time of listening and go, man, I've gotten on 5 calls with these people and they said they want me to just talk about tactics when it comes to digital, mm-hmm. not inspirational stuff. So I go, man, I better go do that. And then I get on stage, I get done, and the CEO is not on any of these calls for this huge, large company, goes, oh, that was pretty good, but it was not great. It wasn't very inspirational. And then it goes, oh, I will never, ever do that again. I'm going to go with what my story is and what I know works. Mm-hmm. That's my advice. Just start for free. Tell your story, because that's uniquely you, and just go for it.
Awesome. I really do appreciate that. I figured that, you know, and too, since that situation, you know, I'm not going to lie. I did have to go through a whole healing process, because I loved that sorority very much. So to be expelled from it, I felt like, you know, I kind of went through a grieving process with that. So, but I was able to take a lot of the stuff that I did within that sorority and apply it to what I do now, you know, leading and managing and providing an excellent customer service experience for my clients.
There you go. And you know what? I guarantee it's already happening now, it sounds like, but 10 years from now, that moment's going to happen for you, not to you. That moment's going to be something where you can talk about it, just like I did, right? I just used it as part of mm-hmm. our conversation. That was a learning. So it's so funny how sometimes in the moment for that year that we think it's the worst thing that ever happened to us. But then in the future, we realize, wow, that really happened for me. And now as you look ahead and 10 years from now, you're in front of this huge audience, you're going to tell that story and how it shaped who you are and made you better. Anthony's flashing my time limit here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to switch gears here. We're going to go into lightning round because you've got a great background. I just want to ask you some lightning round questions if you're up for it. You ready to go?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. So what has been your favorite? You've said Michelle Obama, so it might be that one. But what's been your favorite Super U podcast and why?
It would be that one, simply because I love her anyways. But again, she does talk about, first of all, she's the first lady of the United States. So, you know, she's a strong woman to be in that position. So I'm like, if she can handle that, I can handle this, you know. But she did talk about, you know, time management and also, yeah, making sure you're taking care of yourself. I think that's really important for women to realize because we're so giving of, you know, ourselves and just people in general of everything. And so that would be my favorite one. And also she did talk about not being scared of fail and being your authentic self. That is one thing I really loved about that podcast, because when I went through that situation for the show, it was so embarrassing and it was very traumatic to me. Like I went through a phase where I did not like people after that. Plus I was still living on my car. So I didn't trust people. People who were my best, well, I thought were my best friends turned their backs on me. And so to hear her say to just stay true to yourself, it just really reminded me that, yeah, you went through that really crappy situation, but look at where you're at now, you know, and things do get better.
No, you're right. They do get better. I love that you love that episode. We're actually bringing her up this morning because they're doing some scheduling pieces. And she had said, as you alluded to around time management and scheduling, is if you don't take control of your schedule, don't worry, somebody else will. And so that was something she learned. Yeah, she stepped into the White House. She learned that very quickly. In terms of advice, that was good advice that she gave us. What's the best advice that you've ever received and who gave it to you?
So the best advice I've ever been given, it's a two-part process. So be the person who gets done and the world doesn't owe you.
There you go. What's the best book, poem what does the audience need to know that you've gotten a lot from? It might be a book. It might be a poem. It could be a saying.
Well, there's a poem called Don't Quit. It's kind of long, but I'll just say a little bit. It just talks about when things go wrong, as they sometimes will. When the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high and you want to smile, but you have to cry. And it goes on a little bit more, but basically it says rest if you must, but don't you quit, you know, because life is going to happen. Contrast is going to be in life. It's going to happen. Bad things are going to happen, but it's all about, life is all about perspective and how we respond to those things.
No, it's so true. That's great. And you know, thanks for calling in the show. We love that you're listening to the podcast and hopefully the answers we gave to you today are going to help you down the path, but definitely stay in touch. And again, as we look out there, if you want to find out more, just go online and look up Shanna McCormick. It's Shanna McCormick and she can be found at, give us your handle again.
At @CIARAS_MOM mom.
Love it. Pitbull mom. Here we go.
Oh yeah.
All right. Thanks for calling the show. Have a great day.
Thanks, Eric. You too.
Hey everyone. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Also a huge shout out to anyone that has posted a review. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to do that. We consider you part of the family in our mission to entertain, educate, and empower 7 billion people by 2030. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to start to read one review each podcast. Come with the team, do it, whether that's Andrew, whether it's Anthony, whether it's Anna, whether it's Gloria, whether it's Kelsey. I'm not going to read the entire team, but what they're going to do is they're going to read out one of the best reviews and also give you a shout out because we think it is a win-win and we want to show you some gratitude. So once again, thank you so much for listening and keep posting those reviews because it allows others to discover this podcast.
Hey, this is Kelsey, and here is today's 5-star review from Michaela C123. This is one of my new favorite podcasts. It's a short, easy listen and super inspiring. The advice from powerful leaders is practical to apply. Keep them coming.
All right, our next caller, we got Sean Miller is calling in from beautiful Los Angeles. And so, Sean, just for context, can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. Hey, Sean Miller. Pleasure to be here at first, Eric. Thank you. So I'm Sean Miller. As you said, I'm calling in from Los Angeles, and I'm a geek at heart. I get to work in tech. I run a company called Point Central, and I'm excited to be here.
No, thanks for having us. I love it. Check it out. That's Sean Miller. He's the president of Point Central. What questions do you have we can help with today?
All right. So, Eric, I had the pleasure of seeing you speak at a conference a couple months ago. It's called the IRM Conference down in Texas. So first question I had for you is, you used the term socialnomics, right? And you explained at the conference how word of mouth is now now digital, right? That's how people are learning about things. I think I wouldn't disagree with you, but in recent context, there's been some conversations around how do you validate word of mouth when it is digital, right? And in maybe in older generations, people would read something that maybe there's a stronger editorial hand to it, or, you know, would maybe have the time to go to a library or sort of fact check things on their own. And maybe that's not the case today, or maybe we just don't want to do it. But what's your thought on how socionomics devolves where people are making sure that the information they're consuming is accurate?
No, it's great. One, it's a great question. We don't get that too often. So I'll for the audience, it's really around a little bit. Fake news is what everyone likes to talk about. But when we look at socialnomics, all that is word of mouth on digital steroids, or word of mouth goes to world of mouth. Now, what's beautiful, that book's now a decade old. We've seen some things come to fruition. So it's great. We got those right. Obviously, some things we didn't get correct, or I didn't get correct. And then as we look forward, what hasn't happened, which is what really socialnomics is all about, and people don't really understand. They think socialnomics is social media because it has the word social in it. What it's saying is that in time, and I think that's going to happen sooner rather than later, it's actually taken longer than I anticipated, but that all of us are going to rely on the people we trust, whether it's we're going to write our last will and testament, whether it's we're going to go on vacation and stay at a certain hotel. So when I go and stay at a hotel, what I want to know is I want to know the star rating from people that also travel as much as I do. Because a person that goes to a very high-end hotel, it's their first time to a high-end hotel, they're more likely to give it a 5-star rating because their baseline is much different than someone that travels all the time. Someone that travels all the time knows the nuances of these hotels. And so then that's a review that I'll trust much more. And so socialnomics, the core of it hasn't hit yet, but it's coming, and I hope it's coming soon, to where I can eliminate multiple individual redundancy. And so that's really the power of socialnomics. In the short term, you see a lot of fake news, because as whenever we have new technology, there's the good and there's the bad. But the great news is, in time, the good always outnumber the bad. So people that are posting fake news, they might get a short win now, but in time, we become trusted of the people's sources that we rely on. And so let's say for someone like New York Times, if they become the most trusted source, it's actually a good thing that there's tons of fake news out there, because now I'm willing to pay more if I want to, or most importantly, I trust anything that comes out of the New York Times. That's just an example. I'm not saying that they're great. It's just understanding that those winners in time will be people that we trust. You can get a short-term win, but again, that's a short-term win if you're producing this fake news, because long-term, you will lose.
Great, Eric. Thanks. So quick, hopefully a quick follow-on to that. I'm a father of 2 young kids, 3 and 5, and there's a lot of guidance out there on like how to not expose your kids to too much tech too early. I'm a geek. I grew up playing video games. I remember people used to say playing video games was, you know, too much tech. Any thoughts you have on how to raise kids and get the right exposure to tech? So things like socialnomics, like that it matters to them and they understand how to bring that into their lives and make it useful?
My take on it is this: it all comes down to a scalpel. So if you think about technology like a scalpel, and so whether that's social media, whether that's the latest, greatest on XYZ platform, these texting tools, AI, it doesn't matter. So it always goes back to a scalpel. So if you look at a scalpel, if you give it to a doctor, is a very useful tool. It can save lives. If it's put in the wrong hands, the sharp knife can actually take lives. Now, the key understanding is that most of us aren't doctors. And so when it comes to technology, it's about educating quickly everyone out there, not to get them to the level of being a doctor, but getting to the level of being a nurse or a nurse practitioner. And so it's not the technology itself that's bad. It's how we use it. And so, Sean, it's people like you out there. It's people like those listening to the Super U podcast. It's up to us as leaders to make sure everyone knows how to use these tools properly. So I can't thank you enough, and I can't thank all the listeners out there to really take the message and make sure that everyone understands that it's not the tool itself that's bad. It's how we use it. And when it comes to kids, the de facto thing, and this is true of also adults, because what I laugh at is, oh, my kid uses this tool all the time. And then if I were to sit there and observe that adult, they are watching you and you're using the technology too much or in the wrong way. Because kids, it's funny, because kids might not listen to what we say, but they watch what we do. Every kid's different, but the one broad brush, it's a balance. It's a balance. And so when I go to Africa to speak and they don't have this technology, they're on the other side saying they're at a huge digital divide, a huge disadvantage. Whereas if I go into Orange County, a rich part of Orange County, the other part of it is like, these kids are in this too much. We shouldn't have iPads in the classroom. Where if I'm in Africa, they're going, man, we'd love to have this technology in the classroom because this is kind of causing the divide and we can't compete. So when we look at that, it truly is a balance. So it's just making sure that we all have the right balance.
Great. Thanks, Eric. So one other observation, question based on observation when I saw you speak was you had a good stat that multitasking actually drops our IQ by 15 points, which I think, if I remember correctly, you said it's the equivalent of not sleeping for 36 hours. Like most of the listeners on your show, right? We probably live busy lives, and at least I grew up in an era where multitasking was probably, if not promoted, at least not thought as having such negative consequences. What are some of the ways you think people should really adopt this idea in their life that, you know, do one thing and do one thing well? It doesn't mean you have to do that one thing for the whole, you know, time you're working for that day or with your family, right? But sort of, you know, if it's for 15 minutes doing one thing, do that one thing well. Like, how do you sort of implement that in your daily life and sort of hold, keep yourself true to that?
No, I love that you pulled that nugget out of there. You've got good notes. We'll have to get them out there. Some of you have them. We'll share them with everyone. But yeah, what we came across when I was doing the research for one of my books is that multitasking, actually your IQ could drop up to 15 points. And so ironically, we're getting less done in the moment we're multitasking because we're not multitasking. What we're doing is the exact opposite. We are switch tasking. So our brain's trying to figure out what's more important in the moment when we're switch tasking. So I always try to implore everyone to single task, because what you want to do is when you're multitasking, the thought of multitasking is actually a good one. You want to get ahead of the competition. You want to wring more out of your life. You want to beat Father Time, even though Father Time's undefeated. And so the whole thought process is good, but you're actually doing the exact opposite. And I was doing the exact opposite. I learned this real quick. I go, wait, if I single task versus multitask, that's what I need to be doing. That's how I beat the competition. That's an unfair advantage. That's how I stay healthy. That's how I get more done with my 24 hours. And so again, easier said than done. I'm a recovering multitasker like a lot of us out there. And so it's just a reminder, when I start to slip, when I start to fall into that multitasking / switch tasking way, I go, stop, focus on one thing at a time, and you'll get more done and you'll be happier and also healthier.
What do you think when you look out there, right? There's a lot of talk of connected devices and Internet of Things. Not sure how much of this you're using in your personal life, but generally, you know, what's your thoughts on how that technology is adapting and how that maybe helps our lives, right? Does that take away some of the mundane of life and allows us to focus on things that matter more? Or do you think it causes more confusion?
I think it could be both. So when we think about specifically the Internet of Things, and for most of us listeners out there, that's where we're using our climate control in our house. When you think about Nest, that it's on your phone as an app, that when you're away, that you can actually adjust the temperature if you forgot to before you went on a trip, or that it smartly recognizes when you're gone so that it doesn't continue to heat or cool the house, which is good for the environment. And so I think they can do both. They can be a wait time waster, because when you're sitting there going, oh, this thing's not connecting through my Wi-Fi, so I can't turn the air off. So that's a problem. But when they're done well, and in time they will be done well, is that they're a huge benefit. And so I always talk about technology. If technology is done well, it's not additive. It's actually subtractive, meaning that it makes your life easier. It's not an additional thing that you have to do. It actually removes that friction. So everyone that signs up for Amazon Prime, what is Amazon in the business of? They're in the business of removing friction, meaning that this is easy for me to return. I don't have to think about ordering it because I know how easy the return is. So I might actually order a small, a medium, and a large because I don't know what's going to fit, because it's so easy for me to return and I know I'm going to get it the next day or the day after. And so that's what the business of Amazon is of removing friction. And when you think about the Internet of Things, when it removes friction, which it can, it's amazing. So now when I park, when you first park, you go, I got to download an app. What? You're all upset. But then if you live in that city, it's huge because now you pull in, it's very easy. You just type in a number based on that app. You don't have to use money. You don't have to have coins in your car. You just go use the app. It's just based on the app. You put in a number, super easy. It actually even recognizes where you're parked. So the short answer is, when this is done well, it's subtractive. It makes life better for all of us. And that's the winners in this game, is those that make it so that it's frictionless and actually makes our life frictionless.
Right.
So I'm going to switch gears here and I'm going to go into a lightning round of questions with you, Sean, if you're ready.
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. What's a fun fact about you?
A fun fact about me is I actually had up to 3-second cameo in a movie that was out years ago called Anger Management. There's a scene where Adam Sandler's trying to hit on Heather Graham in a bar, and he's finally successful. When he goes back to his table, Jack Nicholson. Yeah, beating that up.
Not the golfer, the actor, yep.
Yeah, the actor. He's no longer at the table. I'm there, and anyone who knows me knows it's me, because in Hollywood, they build all the things small, and I'm 6'7", so I'm literally sitting at this table like with my knees at parallel height to the table.
That's awesome. And so it's Anger Management. So it sounds like a pretty big scene where you're there. They cut to you and Jack Nicholson was there and now you're there.
Yes. Yes. Jack Nicholson was there and then gone. And then I'm there with a young lady having a conversation. So yeah, it was fun. I really enjoyed it. It took 3 days to film that just bar scene. So I got to learn a lot about what was going on and what it takes to make a movie. I luckily just met the director at a charity event, and he gave me this opportunity to sort of have this fun cameo. So I knew nothing about it and have no relationship to being in that industry other than just got a fun opportunity.
No, I love that. And then what's the best advice you've ever been given and by whom?
This is a tough one. So speaking from basketball, right? I didn't discover my love for basketball till I was in junior high and I started playing. I wanted to play in high school. I got cut my freshman year. I was a big Michael Jordan fan. I'm like, that's okay. He got cut too. I can do this. So I really dedicated myself, made the team sophomore year, but then junior year tore my knee and senior year had a tumor in my leg. So I couldn't play. And then I was like, okay, I really want to play in college. So I, you know, just sort of got in front of some coaches, and luckily it also kept my academics good to where I got an opportunity to play in college. Similar to like you joke as being a water boy, you know, I think I sold the coach on the fact that I'll work really hard and I've watched a lot from the bench. I think I'm a smart player, but I'm not going to set any records for being your best player, but I just had good work ethic. And that's really come back to me as, you know, I think we all have dreams in life, and A, you sort of enjoy the journey, but B, I don't think you ever, it's rare you end up exactly where you think you were, but if you go along your path and keep a goal in your mind and sort of, you know, work with what life gives you, you tend to come out on the other end in a good place, happy, content, you know, excited about what you've achieved versus just, you know, having, you know, maybe being disappointed because you didn't get exactly what you thought you were going to have.
No, I agree. That's great. You can't control the hand that you're dealt, but you can control how you play that hand in life. That's great. Great advice. It sounds like something that you're rocking out each and every day. So again, thanks for calling in, Sean. Love you taking the time. Really appreciate the questions. And again, that's Sean Miller, president of Point Central. And what's the best place that people can find out more about you, Sean?
Easiest place to find out stuff about me. I have a LinkedIn account and a Twitter account. I think we will pop up on the screen here. So feel free to follow those and, you know, share any thoughts with me or see what's going on in my life.
Oh, great. And then one last question. Who should we have on the show?
Okay. So along that Tim Ferriss one, as I was looking back again at old shows, there's a guy named David Asprey, which, he's another one I've really read that really dives into what's the connection between our performance and how we treat our bodies. So again, eat, sleep, et cetera, relationships. He's a good one. If you like sort of Tim Ferriss's life hacks, I've really enjoyed what David Asprey has written about how to maximize our performance.
Fantastic. Well, thanks again, Sean. Have a great day and we'll be in touch.
Thanks, Eric. Love the podcast. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate being here.
All right. Thank you.
These tips from today's top thought leaders are a fantastic reminder to all of us that it's not about being perfect. It's about being the perfect you. Thank you for listening to today's Super You podcast. This is Equal Man reminding all of us. Until next time, it's not what we take from the world. It is what we leave behind.
7
6
5
4
3
2
1
Super, 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 super,
super you.